This podcast is brought to you by Google Chrome. Increase team productivity and work smarter. Get proactive security with help from Google in every tab. If you're IT, choose Chrome browser for your enterprise. To download, visit g.co/chrome/choosechrome.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, March 4th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Amid Russia's invasion, Ukraine's long vibrant software sector has regrouped. IT workers are managing to churn out code for clients overseas and at the same time help with the war effort. On today's show, we'll hear from the CEO of one of Ukraine's biggest tech firms about how his company is operating during the war. And from our European tech reporter Sam Schechner about how the industry as a whole is carrying on. That's after these headlines. As the Russia-Ukraine war continues, more tech companies are limiting their sales and operations in Russia. Spotify has closed its Russian office and placed restrictions on shows by Russian state media on its platform. The Polish game developer behind the massively popular Cyberpunk 2077 is halting sales to Russia and Belarus. And Electronic Arts has begun removing the Russian national team and Russian clubs from three games in its hit FIFA franchise. Russia is demanding that YouTube stop showing ads it describes as, quote, false political information about Ukraine, and it's calling on Google, which owns YouTube, to change its ad moderation policies. The move escalates efforts by the Kremlin to keep information about its invasion that contradicts the official narrative out of the country. Russia's communications watchdog didn't say whether it would block YouTube if the platform doesn't comply. Google didn't respond to a request for comment. OneWeb, the satellite venture backed by the UK government, is suspending all its launches from a Russian-operated site in Kazakhstan. On Wednesday, the Russian space agency had threatened to block OneWeb's planned launch unless it was given reassurances that the satellites wouldn't be used for surveillance. OneWeb spacecraft were meant to be part of a constellation of satellites providing internet worldwide. It is unclear what alternative launch plans OneWeb might be pursuing. The company didn't respond to a request for comment. And staying with space, shortly before 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time today, a 4-ton piece of space junk will smash into the moon's surface. The object, believed to be a Chinese rocket booster, is expected to hit the lunar surface at nearly 5,800 miles an hour, leaving a 65-foot-wide crater. Lunar impacts are nothing new. Meteors collide with it all the time. And space agencies have crashed spacecraft into the moon for disposal or to study the impact for ages. But the European Space Agency says this is the first time human-made space debris will unintentionally make impact. Our science reporter Eileen Woodward says the collision is fueling calls to clean up the growing amount of space debris.
There's a growing movement among scientists and astronomers. It's called space environmentalism, and it's basically the idea that space should be afforded the same sort of protections as we give to terrestrial ecosystems on Earth. The idea of, like, maybe there should be regulations in place that dictate whether you need to be tracking debris in sort of these closer to the moon orbits, or whether you need to provide data about where your spacecraft are going once you've launched them, which would help identify them more easily.
All right, coming up, how Ukraine's tech sector is fighting to protect itself and the country as a whole. That's after the break.
If you're IT, Chrome is the browser for your enterprise. Increase team productivity and work smarter. Get proactive security with help from Google in every tab. Choose Chrome today. To download, visit g.co/chrome/choosechrome.
Despite a Russian invasion, strikes on the capital and other big cities, and the mass exodus of refugees, Ukraine's vibrant software sector is carrying on. It's still performing its longtime role of providing IT support for companies around the world. At the same time, it's also helping support the country's war efforts. This past week since Russia's invasion began hasn't been easy for the country's tech workers and its leaders.
This will change lives of Ukrainians, of Russians, of Europeans, of all of us, right? So this is very, very unexpected, very, very frightening and disappointing. And now it's new world and new life, I would say.
Vitaly Sedler is the CEO of Intellios, one of Ukraine's biggest tech firms with 2,500 employees, most of them in Ukraine. It provides software services for big-name companies around the world, like Germany's Siemens and Korea's LG. Sedler spoke with our sister podcast, The Journal, about how the war has been affecting him and his company. Here's how he describes finding out Russia had invaded.
I was woken up at 5 a.m. in the morning by the leader of emergency response team saying that Putin started the war. So within 1 hour, we put all our business contingency plans under execution, calling for buses. And first buses left Kyiv and Kharkiv like at 9 a.m., so 3-4 hours after they started. We are only concerned about how to move people from unsafe places to safer places.
Many of Intellios' employees were relocated to Lviv, a city in western Ukraine near the Polish border, where the company is based. Sedler estimates moving his employees to safety has cost somewhere between $1 and $2 million, and those costs could go up.
We try to help people as much as possible. So, of course, we support them financially by paying advanced salary so that people have money in their pockets. Sometimes some of them live without having money in their pockets, right? So that's how we help as well. We also compensate, give some money for them for relocation, for hosting for a few days or for a few weeks, right? So that they can cover this direct expenses that they get when they leave their homes.
Sedler is also working to keep his business operating throughout the conflict.
Well, for today, we are almost finished with our logistics. So we are fully focused on restoring our engineering or delivery process on one hand. On the other hand, fully focused to keep relationships with our clients so that we can be sure that economics continue, that business continues, that we are delivering service, the service is paid, we have money to pay to our people. So that's my key focus for now.
You can hear the full interview with Sedler on the Journal podcast. Now, Intellios is just one of the companies in Ukraine whose leaders and workers have found themselves fighting for their industry, their country, and their lives. Joining us to discuss how the situation is affecting the broader IT industry in Ukraine is our tech reporter, Sam Schechner. Hi, Sam. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So companies like Intellios are still operating in Ukraine, but what is the general state of this once thriving industry at the moment?
Well, you know, it's a time of war, and it's not easy. I've talked to founders and company executives who didn't know for days on end whether some of their employees were alive. You know, you have people sheltering from air raid sirens. And so it's not business as usual, as the CEO of one company told me, but they are shipping code. It sounds almost crazy, but towards the western side of the country, there have been fewer missile strikes. Russian tanks aren't there, at least not yet. And these companies are managing to churn out code for their clients overseas and also, you know, help the war effort where they can.
Lviv is a major tech hub in the country. Can you just tell us a little bit about the city, you know, paint us a picture of what the place was like before all of this?
Yeah, Lviv is a big tech hub in Ukraine. It's a sort of medium-sized city with, you know, 700,000, 800,000 residents. And it is close to the border with Poland. It actually, a number of tech executives told me that the internet connection there comes across the border from Europe. You know, the power is up and running, and it's a place where a bunch of companies over the last, you know, 20, 30 years have grown up. And it's a major hub for the country's IT outsourcing industry. That is, companies that do software work. Maybe they are developing the app, or they're building the back-end customer relations software, or they're doing, you know, data analysis for companies overseas. And it's also a place where there are a number of startups that have sprung up that, you know, service not just Ukraine, but the world. You know, Lviv's trade group representing many of the tech companies in Lviv says that there are about 500 such companies in the city, and there's about 30,000 tech workers there.
And we're hearing a lot more of them came to Lviv to get away from the fighting in other places. Of course, there are a lot of refugees coming through. Like you said, it's close to the Polish border. But I'm wondering where else any of the tech workers have gone.
Well, movement in the country has become increasingly difficult. So yeah, there are, you know, workers all over. I've talked to some companies that actually have some people who, at least earlier this week, were still working from Kharkiv in the east, which has been the subject of heavy, heavy attacks and strikes from Russia. And there are still people in Kyiv who are working, and basically all along the borders on the west. And many people have left the country. Shortly after the invasion, Ukraine closed the border to men between the ages of 18 and 60. That's essentially fighting age individuals. And that meant that most of the employees in the male-dominated industry had to stay in Ukraine, but many had left already. Some companies had actually started to, as part of their contingency planning, spin up bigger offices in Poland or, you know, Bulgaria or other countries. And many of these companies have larger offices there now, and their female workers, in many cases, have moved there with their families as well to other countries.
This is a pretty difficult time for, you know, all of these workers. How are companies incentivizing them to keep going with their jobs?
I personally cannot imagine working in these conditions. It would be hard for me. And I think that's the case for some workers. I mean, none of these companies say they're operating at full capacity. Some people are busy looking out for their family's welfare, or they're busy trying to move, perhaps with their company's help, from a place that is really at higher risk than Lviv. Not to say that Lviv is at no risk, but, you know, people are motivated by the fact that they need to keep their companies up and running, and they need to keep their country up and running. A number of people told me that they, you know, want to keep generating revenue so that they can pay taxes. Some companies are giving their profits to the army. And, you know, many of them have reallocated some staff, especially staff that's not, you know, writing code, to doing volunteer work, sourcing, you know, needed supplies, whether they're humanitarian supplies or military supplies. And I think, you know, one thing that is probably cutting into productivity is the fact that many IT workers in Ukraine are helping with the country's cyber attacks against Russia.
Right. We talked about the IT army in an episode earlier this week. What else are tech companies in Ukraine doing to try and help with the war effort?
Some of the companies are donating profit to help with the war effort. In addition to relocating their own employees and families, many of them are housing refugees, they told me, in their offices. And I've seen pictures of, you know, mattresses and sheets laid out in hallways with cubicles down at the other end. Other companies actually went ahead and developed an app that would serve as an air raid siren for people who are outside of major city centers where there might not be one.
Ukraine was one of the biggest countries for IT outsourcing in Europe before the war started. So what impact has this crisis had for international firms?
Well, that was a major worry going in, and it remains a concern. I mean, the global tech ecosystem is already suffering from a talent shortage, and thousands of companies, both large and small, I mean, not just tech companies, but financial services companies, you know, industrial supply companies, use contractors in Ukraine to do programming and development work. So, you know, some of that work could conceivably be shifted to other places. But if the situation worsens in Ukraine, you know, I've spoken to some experts who say that, you know, it's hard to imagine that there will be too many other places for clients to go. For the time being, it seems that, you know, a bunch of companies told me they're shipping, you know, maybe 70% of their promised work this week. So it's not dire yet. And I think they have a lot of understanding from their clients. But, you know, if this continues on and gets worse, as unfortunately, you know, many people expect, that may not prove to be the case. And some of these companies may have to move more operations overseas, or clients may have to shift what work they can to other developers in other countries, which is not an easy prospect in the middle of a complicated technology project.
Ukraine has put a lot of effort into developing its digital sector. Are the people you spoke with concerned that this might be the end of the industry?
The people I spoke with are angry about the invasion. You know, I think they were panicked at first, and now they're angry. And there's a lot of resolve and pride for their ability to continue working. And so I don't think, at least the people I spoke with, are ready to contemplate an end to this sector. You know, that is obviously on the table. If Russia occupies Ukraine, I don't think many of the people I spoke with, and certainly some of them told me this, they wouldn't want to stay there. And it would also raise, I think, for many clients, certain cybersecurity risks. And so, yeah, I think you might see more. I mean, there's already a Ukrainian tech diaspora. And if it should come to that, you might see a bigger Ukrainian tech diaspora.
All right. That was our reporter, Sam Schechner. Thanks for joining us, Sam.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. Our producer is Julie Chang. Our supervising producer is Chris Sinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from the Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve, and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.